People waving your hands, send us a chat message if you'd like to talk. I do want to make sure we hear from everyone who wants to speak. So do we have any members of the public that would like to make a comment at this time?
Now, in the meantime, I want to remind everybody that, you know, per the Open Meetings Act, we are recording this session. We have to record all virtual board meetings. So this meeting is being recorded. It's just an FYI. If you don't want to be on camera, that's fine. But if you do, you will be on forever emblazoned on our website.
Thank you for that reminder, Jeff. I appreciate it. All right, I'm not seeing anyone asking for public comment. Is anyone else on the board? Am I missing someone requesting?
Nothing in the chat.
Okay. All right, then I'm going to move us on to our discussion agenda. So right off the bat, we have our hybrid remote learning update. So Jeff, I'm going to turn that over to you.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. So you've all seen the communication that went out last week, I guess. The school is aiming for February 8th. Well, the school will be open for hybrid phase B learning on February 8th. Now, the caveat there is, of course, if something drastically changes. Why am I getting feedback? If something drastically changes between now and then, from a countywide number standpoint or a governor's order, you know, we'll again balance and adapt to that as best as possible. But right now we are preparing. We've had just finished, concluded our third listening session. Some of you were there. Many of you participated. We did a kindergarten one, a first through fourth grade one, and a fifth through eighth grade one. Just separated kindergarten out because it's a little bit of a different animal, being an 8 to 1 o'clock kindergarten schedule. So well attended. I think all things considered, if we add up the numbers, we are well over 240 or 230 participants or attendees. We talked through the health and safety, we talked through special education, we talked through curriculum, and we talked around protocols of changing and remote versus in-person and things like that. So I think well received. What we're doing at the school in the meantime is we will be taking a e-learning planning day. The governor, if you remember, allotted 5 school days for e-learning planning days, 4 institute days, if you will, during the COVID crisis for this year. We will be implementing one of those on July 29th to have an in-service day to make sure that we finalize and so all of our teachers, all of our staff understand the ins and outs of how this will work. It is still somewhat of a work in progress. We resent the confirmation surveys. We call the confirmation survey to the parents to verify whether they filled out the first one or not, whether their child will attend remotely or be in person. We're asking for those surveys to be returned to us by tomorrow afternoon so that we can continue, so that we can compile the final A and B class lists for the students that will be in person by Friday and get those back out, not only to the teachers and the staff, but to the parents as well, so they know what they're looking at. A lot of work being done here to get ready for this. The school itself is ready. The logistics and some of the questions we're receiving are making us think deeper into some of the plan, although the plan itself will not change, but it may be improved. And we will be ready to open our doors at 8 o'clock on February 8th for hybrid phase 4B. More and more information will come out. I will keep you guys abreast as best as I can as it happens. And like I said, we will be having an in-service day where a lot of this will be more clarified even than it is now with the rest of the staff at the school. So I'll stop there for now and take any questions or comments or concerns.
Jeff.
I'd like to just, go ahead.
Sorry. I was just going to ask how are we getting lots of surveys back already? Do you think people are waiting till the listening sessions are over, or how's that playing out?
We have, I'm going to make this up. We have 280 families, roughly, 275, 280. And I think we have 200, just over 200, 202 surveys back already. I believe that after these listening sessions and some of the email correspondence that's going back and forth, we'll tip that to be hopefully 100%. The last time we sent the survey, we only had about a 70% hit rate, 68% hit rate of those that responded. I will share that at the last time we took it right before November, the parents, the split was about a 63-37 split on 37 staying remote and 63 coming in person, somewhere around those numbers. Now it is changed a little bit and it's more of an 80-20-ish type split, at least last time I looked, which was earlier this morning. So that, you know, some minds have changed, some haven't, which is fine, their choice. But that's where we stand with that.
I just wanted to comment, Jeff and the whole team, just I thought the listening sessions were great and really well thought through. And thank you.
You're welcome. You know, I'm going to say we hope we never have to do this again. But here's an oversight on my part. We should have done those listening sessions with staff as well beforehand. And so, you know, my dad used to say, if you're not learning something new every day, then you're not doing it right. I just learned something new this past week was we should have been doing those listening sessions with staff as well.
So. I have a question.
Yes.
You had mentioned that some of the questions that are coming up, I'm assuming you meant from parents, but maybe it's staff too, are having you rethink maybe some of parts of how, you know, life will look like at the school. Are those changes that you're making going to be communicated to the board, to families, to staff? I mean, what's your plan for that?
Yeah. So let me give you an example. What we said in the plan was in phase 4B, there will be no before and after care.
Okay.
Right? Pretty black and white. There'll be no after care. Now we're kind of looking at it and going, all right, maybe not at the beginning, but maybe somewhere in the middle. You know, let's get it off the ground. Let's see what the numbers in Lake County do. Let's see how the success rates are and people staying safe here. And then let's relook at that. So it's not any major changes. It's just tweaking of things that we may have said no to. A carpool situation. I can guarantee you that the carpool situation on paper is the best thing ever until it happens the first day. And that may tweak a little bit. You know, so those types of things, not so many wholesale changes of saying, oh my God, we didn't do this and now we're going to do that. So if there's any major or substantive changes that definitely need to be communicated, instead of this, we're doing that, we will, but it's more going to be a slow release on things that we think we can handle at the time if that turns that way.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you.
Jeff, I want to say thank you to you and Tony and Jessica and all of our teachers that are present and those that aren't present. I know it's been a lot of hard work on everybody's ends to make this come together and is still a lot of hard work to pull it together. So thank you. I'm really grateful for that. I do have one question that just dawned on me now while you're talking about doing that planning day to make sure our staff have really good understanding of things. Is there any way our potential sub pool can be part of that so that they know, you know, the ones that we tend to use more often, so that they're familiar with things, as that it will be different for them as well?
Definitely working on it. Can't guarantee it, but we're definitely working on it.
Thanks.
Yeah, you know, you're right. It's easy to sit here and say, hey, Jeff, nice job. Tony, nice job. Jessica, nice job. This is an 82, 84 person pool. And I think it shows. I think we're ready. We're ready to go.
Along those lines, Jeff, you mentioned just, you know, wishing having done listening sessions with the staff. Are there any things that the staff, additional things that the staff needs that can be provided? Like, do they need more than one day, for example?
Yeah, and we talked pretty good at length about some of that, about using two, using one, and how I left it with as the resolve was, let's take the one. If we need another one, we'll take it. You know, let's get into school. If we need another one, then we'll take it. Same with the next week, same with the next week. I don't think there's any reason not to utilize them, except for the interruption for the students and the families. I get that totally. But, you know, let's not save them, but let's not also use them up at the beginning and going, geez, what are we going to do now? So I think, you know, I think we have everybody on board. We'll find out on Friday. And if at that time we need to steal another one here or there, we will, you know. But right now, I think we're okay. Anything else on that?
Yeah, I'd say other questions or comments from the board? All right. I will keep us moving then. Next, we have on the agenda the lottery open house recap. So, Jeff, that's back to you.
Yeah. So, has anybody been able to go online and watch about 40 minutes of virtual open house? Yeah. You don't need to, right? You already know everything that is happening there. But we did Peter Zarcoza, Heather Jackson, Christine Jeffries, Naomi, Janet, Christine Hodapp, Jessica Lustano, Tony, myself, put a really nice presentation together, talked a little bit about who we are, went into the classrooms, Julie Parker, Marnie McKee as well, and put a nice 35, 40 minute presentation together about what a day in the life of Prairie Crossing looks like for a prospective family. And that's how we did our January open house. We had about 42, 45 participants in that, which is about the same amount of people we get, maybe not families, but we think we have more families that watched it virtually than what we would have had it had we had it in person comparative to last year and the years before. It went across real well. I believe it went across real well. It's posted on our website for anybody who may have, or Facebook Live for anybody who may have missed it. And we are evaluating what we do. We usually have one in January and one in February. I don't think we'll reinvent the wheel on February if it's going to be virtual. But we're going to anticipate and see what that looks like and potentially have one even later after the lottery. But our numbers look good. It was I thought it represented the school as best it could virtually. And in some ways, it was a lot more efficient. The challenge was we couldn't take real live questions and answers from people's mouths, but I think we did a nice job at what we did. So just wanted to give you a heads up on that.
I was able to listen in. I thought it was great.
I was going to say, Jeff, it does make you think that like maybe next year, even if we're out of the pandemic, to use something like maybe a mix of people who could participate in person and also virtual, to like expand it and cast a wider net, so to speak.
Yeah, it's a great segue too, Marcelo, because that's kind of what we talked about in the outreach committee. And then above and beyond that, you know, Peter's very talented at editing and putting together videos and doing a nice job with that. So, you know, we need to utilize, if he's willing, we need to utilize his talents and potentially create spots, you know, maybe a 2 minute, 3 minute, 4 minute commercial of 4, 5, 6, 7 times a year that highlights some of the things that our teachers are doing and our staff is doing, would carry a lot of weight and go a long way. So yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Jeff, do you know what our lottery numbers look like? You know, I know you shared that in the committee meetings a week or so ago. Do you have any idea where we stand at this point?
Yeah, I do. Give me 2 seconds. Talk amongst yourself. Here's the topic.
Last week at Outreach, Jeff shared they were pretty much on par with where we've been in previous years.
Yeah, so as of yesterday, we have 161 applicants scattered across K through 8, more weighted at kindergarten, you know. Last year at this, on that exact same date, we were at 163. So we're right on par with where we've been.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
are you seeing people, I know that this has always been the ongoing issue outside of our immediate area, some of our efforts, are they starting to like bear fruit, or is that still something to look forward to in the future?
Yeah, 31 of those applicants are out of district, whereas last year at this pace, it was 30. So we're still getting a lot of out of district inquiries. But the interesting thing this year is our siblings have gone down a little bit. Our siblings are not much. 16 siblings have applied versus about 22, 23 last year.
That's potentially 6 or 7 more families, though, new families that could join.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And, you know, just as a committee recap of outreach, we did advertise in Los Reflejos, the Latino paper that's circulated in Lake County, as well as the Daily Herald. And that ran 3 or 4 times in each of their print editions, as well as their online editions.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any other questions or comments about the lottery open house? It's all good.
Hey, Jeff, have we thought about how we're going to do the lottery remotely? Because I know that we have, you know, observers and, you know, there are board members there watching the balls get picked and stuff. How are we, have we thought about how we're going to do that in the COVID world?
Yeah, we don't have it 100% cooked, Stacy, but we do have the option, you know. Everybody write this down because I'm going to say it once. You know, Facebook Live is a really nice tool that we can broadcast live, which isn't a bad thing. And that can also be oversight both in person, you know, like with our distancing and all that.
Yeah.
With our distancing and be quality controlled with in person should the need arise. But it might even be more effective where we can actually zoom in on the screen. I mean, if you guys, those have been at the lottery in the past, it's a little bit funky that you can't really see the screen if you're sitting in the back of the comp or the Muir Hall. So we're prepared to do it virtually, but I don't believe, frankly, that we're going to be able to do it unless we spread out in the gym or in the top of the barn to meet everybody's needs and do it in person. So I think we're ready, but just don't have a total.
Yeah, no, just wondered.
Yeah.
All right, any other questions about lottery in the open house? All right, I'm gonna keep us moving on then to committee updates. Jeff, you kind of just spoke about outreach. Are there other things from outreach that met last week that you wanna add?
Outreach members, did I cover the bases enough on that one?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. So I'm good.
All right, Stacy, how about finance also met last week?
Yeah, you know, the thing we really probably spent the most time on with finance were the expenditures that have been sort of COVID-driven and COVID-related, and there's a summary of that in the packet for everyone that talks about the different line items that have been increases that are largely driven by COVID. Those all seemed standard and in line with what we needed to do, what we have to do, and what we would have expected to do. Otherwise, the financials, I think, are pretty straightforward, pretty on par, and it was a pretty normal meeting.
Okay, thank you. From our other committee, Cello, any governance update? I know you guys didn't meet. Any update on your end?
Yeah, no update from governance.
Okay, Jim, anything from election?
Let's hope not. Yep, so just nothing happening here immediately, but just something to keep in the back of our heads. March 15th will be the initiation date for the next cycle of the parent election. So we, all of us here, you know, we need to be thinking about people potentially that would be good candidates for the board, you know, encourage them to think about throwing their hat in the ring for that process.
I wonder, Jim, given everything going on with hybrid and the switch to 4B and that this is a new thing, I wonder if that committee's thought about like doing some extra advance announcements to remind people that, hey, this is going to happen in the spring.
It's not a bad idea. Now the committee hasn't thought about doing that, but it's a good suggestion.
Might have saying myself, I might have forgotten that was coming up that quickly as well. So I'm thinking probably a lot of people have.
Fair enough. I could draw something up and send it to you, Nell, you and Jim, if you'd like, and then we tweak it as necessary and get that out. It'd be nice to change the pace on the normal communications that are going out.
Yeah.
Sure thing. Yep. But yeah, so just from a date standpoint, though, so the actual election itself, the ballots would be due by May 2nd. The candidate packets would be April 7th. And then back into that, the formal initiation would be March 31st, just keeping with the planned timeline.
Yeah. Thanks, Jim. Any questions about that from anyone?
Can you remind me, did we need to change the bylaws or anything like that for the adjustment to the election dates? I think we took care of it, but I just want to make sure it's not an open task.
The bylaws themselves don't talk about the particulars of the election. It just talks about, for the most part, it just talks about the composition of the board. The thing that changed in the bylaws, even though it's a moot point usually for us, is the new legislation that talks about having a parent on board and having certification, things like that. But from a housekeeping standpoint about when the elections are held, whether they're staggered or not and all that stuff, that's policy driven. And I do believe we're caught up on that.
Yeah, I know that we hammered it, like I think when Sue was still around. So I wasn't sure, but because there was talk about bylaws too. I just wanted to check.
Yeah, I agree with Jeff and you, Cello. I think we are all caught up and made all of that whole with the policy changes.
Yeah.
All right, Abe, anything on academic committee?
March 16th is the next meeting.
Okay.
So Jeff, I'll be reaching out.
I'm ready for you.
All right. And did I forget any of our standing committees? I think I hit them all. All right, next up, this is a standing item for January, our authorizer annual review status. Jeff, I know things are a little bit different this year. Can you bring us up to speed on where things stand with that?
Yeah, so usually by now, or maybe in February, we would have had a annual review from our authorizer. When it was the State Charter School Commission, what they used to do is they would give us an annual review every year up until the recharter. And that would be our progress to date, our report card, so to speak. So that in the fifth year, when we go to recharter, we don't have to generate 5 years of information for them. We just literally use the findings in the annual review. So ISBE is adopting, ISBE is the new authorizer, is adopting those same principles at least at the start of their new position of being authorizer. And so we've been in touch. I've been in touch with the charter school representative from ISBE, and I asked him point blank, where are we at with this? And his answer was, you need to give us some time. Don't worry about it. You know, they use the report card for the most part, the school report card that's published, as most of their information around academic performance. They use the internal audits that they ask charter schools to do to get into their organizational framework to find out if we're compliant in their organizational framework. That literally came today. Had I known it was coming today, I would have put it on the agenda. But this is our compliance audit from Clifton Larson Allen. Next month, we'll go through it in detail, but the bottom line is we're compliant. So that gets sent to ISBE actually by the end of this month. And that covers the organizational. The third one is financials. And as Stacy mentioned, we're fine. Our financial audit was clean. Our debt to service ratios are well above what their requirements are. So what they said is like, we don't know what this is going to look like, the annual review this year. We just don't know yet because they don't have enough data to be able to assess us from an academic standpoint, since we didn't take any IRA or PARC, you know, the old PARC, new IRA testing last spring. So they're trying to figure out a way where, and this is base A, this is your agenda for academics. They're gonna ask the schools at some point in February, hopefully, on what the schools can do in a COVID situation where there's no test scores. How can we use MAP scores? How can we use other metrics? How can we use creatively to show growth and to show some of the benchmarks that IAR would normally show them? And so they're going to put the onus back on charter schools, but they don't know what that looks like. So that's a long-winded way of saying they don't know yet, but they're going to ask for something.
Are we going to do spring MAP testing, Jeff? Do you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
All right. So any Tony, questions or go ahead.
Tony, what's the window for the NWEAs in the spring?
NWEA spring will be done in May. In May, the IAR window, if they have it, begins, I think, this year around March 8th or 15th.
Yeah. That's the other last piece of the equation is they weren't, you know, the gentleman I talked to, who's is a good guy, at this point, noncommittal, but didn't know whether the state was going to pursue IAR or not. There's a school of thought by some at ISBE that it's absolutely necessary. There's a school of thought by others, both in and out of ISBE, that IAR testing this year is a waste of time. So we'll see where that goes. So that's my update. Stay tuned.
Thanks. Right. Any other questions or comments before I move us on? All right, so next up on the agenda is board goals review. So for the members of the public that are present, we did use our December board meeting to do a board retreat. That's something that we typically like to do in the month of June, but given the COVID concerns and alternate learning plans and things that were going on, we weren't able to do that. So we did kind of a mid-year one. Instead, we did come up with four board goals that are included in the packet. I'll read those in case someone hasn't had a chance to see the packet. That first one relates to amending the Board of Directors' recurring calendar of events to include advanced planning for leadership succession, particularly at the committee level. We also discussed that board members will work to increase the recruitment of diverse board and committee members. We discussed that the board will continue to pursue legislative advocacy to advance PCCS as well as the greater charter school community. Oh, there Jeff is sharing for us. Perfect. And then the board will explore options to grow financial cash reserves in order to facilitate continued future financial security for PCCS. So Abe had shared, I thought, a really good idea with me when I sent these out kind of in written form to the members of the board. Abe had given the feedback that it would be good to hold ourselves accountable for this, and that perhaps, you know, every other month or every third month, we have a standing agenda item to review our progress on them. I think as we discussed in committee or in the board retreat, but jump in guys if I'm getting it wrong, that first goal is just an option of amending our calendar of events. I will do that and present that in the board packet for next month. We can see if everybody agrees with how that is. I believe that we had talked about goal two kind of falling under governance. So I don't know, Cello, if that's something that you're open to putting on the, including on the next governance committee. You know, it's kind of spearheading, the whole board will be involved in that, but that governance will spearhead that.
Okay.
For the third goal, I know we talked about that a little bit in outreach. We had also chatted at the board retreat that perhaps the executive committee would meet with Jeff to talk about some strategy for that initially, and then try and work with outreach to keep that moving forward. So that could, you know, I will be in touch to talk about setting up an executive committee meeting. And then Stacy, I think finances all over goal number four.
Yeah.
Marcelo?
Yeah.
When is the next governance meeting without me having to look it up? you know?
So you're going to make me look it up?
Yeah, I've got a calendar.
I think it's February. Like
I have February 16.
Yep. Yeah.
Jim, does it make sense to have a joint meeting with election and governance and knock some of this stuff out?
Yeah, we can. I don't see any reason why we can't do that.
Maybe I'll set up the agenda that way and see what happens.
Okay, and you'll throw that second bullet point, that second goal on our agenda?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Just so the left hand knows what right hand's doing.
From the board, anybody have objections to me adding this in? Because I'll add it in our calendar of recurring events too, that we look at our goals, you know, every second or every third month and just give an update on where we're, what progress we're making.
No objection. It's just more of an observation. I know that like with goals, usually if you're going to measure against them, you have to have a target. And I know this all four are great, but there's nothing that we're shooting for percentage wise or number wise. Is that something that we should revisit before actually like pursuing them and starting to like talk about them on a monthly basis? Or is that something that let's get started, get a feel for it, and then once we get a feel for it, maybe we could start putting some numbers to back up those goals?
I think the latter makes more sense with the nature of the goals we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was thinking. I mean, even like increase like you know, pursuit for future board appointments and elections. Yeah, what's the number? What's the correct number that you shoot for on that one? I don't know. So that's something good to talk about. But I thought I'd throw it out because it's a typical HR thing to always bring up.
No, I think it makes sense to have something to aim for too, but I think we're still in the planning stages of knowing even where to aim, let alone how what numbers are. That would be my thought.
I'm with you. I was thinking I was alone on that one.
I think you're spot on, Marcella. I mean, when you look at something like diverse board and committee members, it's easy to say, it's harder to execute. And, you know, what some of these may do is, you know, some of this might be more information that we need rather than ourselves. You know, maybe there's a parent survey that goes out that says, you know, why haven't you applied for a board, you know, whatever.
Right.
There's probably some legwork. I agree with Stacy and you 100% that there's probably a lot of legwork in all of these really to figure out what is the right, smart, slow step in order to go faster later.
Yeah. All right.
And I might throw out there, Solo, I like the idea quite a bit. I think it's been, at least in my tenure, a little while since the board's had very specific directive goals that perhaps by when we do our board retreat in June, we can be trying to amend and modify and be more specific at that point and get us on a good pattern for moving forward.
Yeah, actually June might be a perfect target. You know, we've got that meeting with governance and elections in February. Some of the other ones, like I know, Stacey, you probably have finance, you said in March. Yeah. You know, you start thinking through some of these and we come prepared in June to talk about specific targets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So any questions or comments? I know I had sent these to all the members of the board for feedback before the meeting, but anybody have any other comments they want to make now? All right. So moving us on to the consent agenda, we have in our packet the financial statements. There is a business manager's report. Anyone have question about any of that from Kim's report? The budget's also in there with the year-to-date financials. Any questions, everybody good?
There is a deliverable that's due tomorrow or Friday to ISB, which is the quarter financials. So that's also included in your packet after these the original financial statements that you see every month. Here's the deal. The only change to those is that we've shrunk the columns up a little bit from a reporting standpoint. We don't offer such an in-depth look at our finances as we do when we report our overarching thing. So what you're approving hopefully tonight for submittal to ISB by Friday is the same thing you're seeing here condensed a little bit. Yep. But the numbers are the same, except for maybe a timing. One is the end of December. One might have some January activity in it. But for the most part, it's the same thing. Just wanted to clarify that on why there's two sets.
Jeff,
are those what you're calling like the balance sheets that have their label kind of the last four pages of the financial? What's going to go to ISB?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
Jeff, I think this is the right place to ask this question. I heard last week that schools are getting funding for medical equipment, so masks, sanitizer, all that kind of stuff. Is that something that Prairie Crossing qualifies for reimbursement of some of that?
Not yet, Joanne, not yet. A lot of the funding that's being earmarked for COVID is through evidence-based funding, and the charter school does not get evidence-based funding.
Got it. Okay.
That's kind of how they're making their qualifiers, is they're putting it under their evidence-based funding package. It's not right necessarily, but that's where it lives today.
Wonder how Warren feels about that.
Yeah.
All right, any questions about the financials? All right, so I'm gonna move us on. Next up, we don't have minutes from the December meeting to approve tonight. We'll have those for February. We're gonna give Jim the pass on that. He's had a lot going on and we were otherwise caught up. I don't think we have committee meetings minutes from last week. Those can be approved at the next committee meetings or bring them to February. February's board meeting, and we can approve them here, whatever committee heads, whatever you prefer there. So we don't have any open session minutes to approve tonight. We do need a motion to accept the reports on the consent agenda.
So moved.
Right. Joanne with the first, Sello with the second. Nelsie, yes. Sello?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Stacy?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
Ankur?
Yes.
Rebecca?
Yes.
Dimitri?
Yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
And Leanne?
Yes.
All right, so passed. Next up, we do have an opportunity for public comment. Again, we do still have members of the public here. Is there anyone that would like to make comment at this point? Again, give us a wave, put something in the chat, let us know. All right, I'm not seeing anything. Am I missing anything, other members of the board? Nope. All right, so next on the agenda, we do have closed session items. We are gonna need a motion to go into closed session for discussion related to 5 ILCS 120-2C11. Litigation when an action against, affecting, or on behalf of the public body has been filed and is pending before a court or administrative tribunal, or when the public body finds that an action is probable or imminent, in which case the basis for the finding shall be recorded and entered into the minutes of the closed meeting related to legal bills and pending litigation. We'll also be entering into closed session for discussion related to 5 ILCS 120-2C2. Collective negotiating matters between the public body and its employees or their representatives, or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes or employees, the council MOU. And finally, we'll be going into closed session for discussion related to 5 ILCS 120-2C21, discussion of minutes of meetings lawfully closed under this act, whether for purposes of approval by the body of the minutes or semi-annual review of the minutes mandated by section 2.06, and that would be to review closed session minutes from previous board meetings. Do we have a motion to enter into closed session?
So moved.
Second.
Jim with the first, Abe with the second. Nels, a yes. Sello?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Stacy?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
Ankur?
Yes.
Rebecca?
Yes.
Dimitri?
Yes.
Leanne?
Yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
All right, so moved. It is 8:21 p.m. We will be going into closed session.
Joanne?
Happy to. Yeah.
Yeah, I just co-hosted you. So, I need a coaching lesson here. So, do I stop recording the open session now?
Yes, and then don't pause. Actually, stop.
Okay. And then you'll pick it up from in closed session.
Yes, I'm creating the room now.
Okay, so I'm going to stop recording. For any staff that are participating or listening in tonight, the only thing that will be done after closed session is taking action items to approve those board goals, to approve the closed session minutes if there are any that we're going into closed session to discuss. What's the other one? And to approve the
legal bills
reporting package that has to be sent to ISBE. Well, that will be the exciting part of the meeting when we're done in closed session. So I please employ you to stick around if you'd like to, but have a good night.
It sounds like a blast, but yeah, the couch call.
No, thanks, you guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you all for what you do.
All right, we all made it back. Yep, I see everybody. All right, so Jeff is starting the recording. It is 7:47. We have returned to open session. I misspoke at the end of open session before we moved into closed session at 7:21 p.m., not 8:21 p.m. So we are now back in open session for our action agenda items.
Hey, Nell.
First, yes.
Can I expand? Can I just share my screen for just a quick second?
Yes.
So, Ankar, this goes to your question. So this is the portal. This is the Lake County portal for vaccinations, right? And so everyone registers.
Yep.
See this gray box right here?
Yeah.
That's what we're waiting on.
Yeah.
And they'll tell us when and where. And it's a little bit funky because the only information you put is that you're a frontline worker, and then earlier on in this process, it doesn't show up on the profile. It has education. And so I don't know, you know, phase 1B is talking about education, restaurant workers, grocery stores, you know, things like that. So I don't know what the volume is there, and I don't know what the delay is there, but this is what we're waiting on right here.
Yeah.
Jeff, have you by any chance reached out to any other superintendents in Lake County to see of any schools that are hosting for teachers and staff?
Yeah, well, yeah, as a matter of fact, I've talked to a couple. I haven't talked to a bunch, but the two that I did talk to, one of them was saying that he's advising his staff to go to Walgreens and set an appointment there. And if you double dip your appointment, at least you'll get one of them. I don't know how substantial that statement is. Yeah. Not doubting it, but I don't know how substantial it is. I don't want one that I haven't shared that with staff, although staff has shared that with me. So I don't know if that cancels one out or how that works. Mm-hmm. And then I do understand that they are still looking at beyond Lake County Fairgrounds, which is literally in our backyard. They are looking at potentially opening like Mundelein High Schools and some other ones. I don't think Warren's on that list, at least they weren't last I checked, but they are looking at potential opportunities to have these little pop-up vaccinations.
We were told Stevenson and Grant were the two schools like on the south end of the county and north end of the county. And I know that at our school, they're trying to get that trying to get it done at our school as well. But just like you said, they've encouraged us to try to get an appointment wherever we can.
Right.
But I think more in the next couple of weeks, we'll have a better idea of that. But
I agree with that.
Yeah.
You know, in all due respect to the state, in theory, from what I heard this morning is that it just launched in regions 8 and 9 today. So maybe a benefit of the doubt, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I think the thing that is important to continue, and we've let parents know this through the listening sessions, is the process is not a one and done. You all know that even if vaccinations were available today, I went and got my shot today, I go get another shot in anywhere between 4 and 6 weeks, depending on their schedule. And then there's an incubation period after that. So best case scenario would be our staff, if we had 100% vaccination participation, our staff at least would be vaccinated by middle of March, end of March, beginning of April, somewhere in there. Unless the new Johnson & Johnson comes out where it's a one and done shot, but you know that hasn't been approved yet. So I don't think it's a matter of the vaccines. I think that it's a manpower and a scheduling issue. I just don't think they have the bandwidth to handle the demand. My personal opinion.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jeff, for sharing that.
Sure.
All right.
Okay.
Moving us on to action agenda. First up is to approve the board goals as such as we discussed. Is there a motion for that?
So moved.
Second.
Was Stella the first, or who's that, Abe?
Yeah, Marcelo, and then Abe with the second.
Okay. All right. Nell's a yes. Cello?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Stacy?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
Anker?
Yes.
Rebecca?
Yes.
Dimitri?
Yes.
Leanne?
Yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
All right, it's passed. Is there a motion to approve our legal bills for $2,070.58?
So moved.
I'll second.
Stacy with the first. That was Rebecca with the second. Nell's a yes. Cello?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Stacy?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
Anker?
Yes.
Rebecca?
Yes.
Dimitri?
Yes.
Leanne?
Yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
All right, and lastly, we need a motion to approve closed session minutes from October 27th, 2020, November 16th, 2020, and November 17th, 2020.
So moved.
All right, Dimitri with the first, and the second was?
Second.
Jim? All right, Nell's a yes. Cello?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Stacy?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
Anker?
Yes.
Rebecca?
I'll decline. I wasn't there. Yep.
Dimitri?
Yes.
Leanne?
Yes.
And Joanne?
Yes.
All right, and that has passed. Next up is new business. Is there any new business to discuss tonight? Everybody's good. All right, then we could have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Everybody wants to hang out?
Second.
All right, Stacy was the first. Who did the second? Was that Dimitri?
Yeah.
All right. Nell's a yes. Cello?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Stacy?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
Anker?
Yes.
Rebecca?
Yes.
Dimitri?
Yes.
Leanne?
Yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
All right. Motion passes. We are adjourned at 7:55 p.m. Get it right this time.
And thank you, Jeff, for having the listening sessions before.